Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise, glory, and honor for the goodness that you have bestowed upon us. Most importantly, a word of encouragement, a word for the season. Thank you that you have shown and fulfilled prophecy in such a powerful way, and you even opened the eyes of people that have waited to see your coming. God, open our eyes fresh and anew today to see your kingdom come, your will be done. For truly, God, that's what our life and our existence is about, is to seek and to save and to reach out to the least and the lost. May your word pierce our heart, and may it give us the ammunition we need to be victorious. Amen. Amen. So, the first Noel, Merry Christmas. I don't know if you're aware, but here recently I was in a dentist office, and one of the dentists asked me kind of out of the blue and put me on the stage and said, what does Noel mean? How many of you know what Noel means? I know what it means, but I just couldn't think right off the top of my mind. And I said, well, it means a proclamation, or it means Mary. And so I had to look at it a little bit further, and because, you know, there's an origin and a root word to everything. And so I looked at what that meant, because we sing about it. We sing the first Noel, don't we? You know, a lot of times we get caught up doing things and we don't even know why we do them. So it's important to kind of have some background and some history, especially about things. And, you know, I'm going to walk and get closer to you because, you know, y'all are sitting way back there and there's just people everywhere. So don't be surprised if I'm like right up in your grill, because I can't stand way up there. I mean, y'all don't want to move up here, so I'm going to move down there, all right? So if I can't get you to move, then you can't get me to stay. How about that? Anyway, Noel, if you look at it from the French root word, means Merry Christmas. The first Merry Christmas. And then as it was translated later on into English, it finds its way in the 1828 edition of the Webster's as simply meaning a shout for joy. That's exactly what happened that special, significant time in human history, was God came to planet Earth and there was a great shout of joy. And that's why one of my most favorite tagline verses, sometimes I'll accompany it with the closing of a text, or it doesn't need to, it stands on its own by itself, but Luke 2:14 says what? It says, "Glory to God." You know, before Pentecostals ever had a hold of that, the angels in heaven were shouting and declaring, "Glory to God. Glory to God. Majesty, wonder, merriment." And you know what the word Merry Christmas means? If you break that down, the early Old English was Mighty Christ. You know, here recently there was a movie and it was kind of slapstick. And, you know, this family was sitting around the table. It was a Christmas and it wasn't your traditional Christmas by any means. And it doesn't look like that. It must have been in Florida or somewhere like that, because there wasn't any snow or any of that. But they were sitting around a KFC box of chicken and they began to pray and they were looking and winking. And one person in particular began to pray and they said, "Dear baby Jesus." And, you know, we want to pray to baby Jesus, don't we? And we want to sing Merry Christmas and have just a real lighthearted approach. But it really means Mighty Christ. We can't contain Him in a manger. He has come to set the captives free. He has come to save the sinner from the sin. And God Almighty sent Himself into this world as a Mighty Christ, a victorious Savior. And that was something really significant and special. And that's why we can sing joy to the world. We can shout with proclamations of joy, because it really is a Mighty Christ. So the first Noel was a Merry Christmas. It was a shout of joy. It was a hallelujah that was not docile or timid, but it was dunamis with power, explosive in nature. Isn't that wonderful? So, you know, when we think about, here again, a little bit of a recap of what it means to have a Merry Christmas, we can't really give God anything, and we already laid the foundation that the only thing that God doesn't own on planet Earth is what? Class. We don't own choices or decisions. You can choose this day life, or you can also choose to go back and live a defeated life. But God saying, for all of humanity, I came to this earth to give you life and life abundantly. But you're going to have to make that choice and that decision on your own. I'm never going to enforce my love or my generosity upon you nor anyone else. You have to accept it. That's the whole idea of tasting and seeing that God is good. It means that you have to put it to your lips yourself. You have to live into it and accept it. That's the only thing God does not own. He owns everything else in all of this world. And so we laid down twice last Sunday and then Christmas Eve. What can we give back to God? And real simply, first of all, we give God first place in our heart. The Bible is very plain and very clear that there is no substitute for God, and anything that becomes a substitute is an idol, and most humanity is idolatrous by nature. Whether you put up your career first or your family first or your living arrangements or whatever else, whatever takes first place becomes an idol in your life. And God says, I refuse to be a substitute because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why would you follow a lie when the truth will set you free? So number one is we put God first in our life. Now that's not easy. That's a daily activity of working out our salvation, of living it out, of living on the daily bread, meditating and praying and reading and also being in connection. But first place means that we say, God, if we get a bonus check or if we get an extended day of life, nothing is guaranteed. Even the Bible goes on to say, you fool, tomorrow at this time, I'm going to require your soul. And you're sitting there thinking about, well, my barn's too small. I'm going to build another one because I got so much stuff. It's been good and I'm going to just plan. There's nothing wrong with planning and working towards the goal of the future. But you know what? God says, don't let that take first place. Inquire of me. Lord, this is your day. I didn't create it. I had nothing to do with it, but I'm in it. So how can I look to you first? It's not necessarily always what Jesus does or what Jesus would do. It's what is Jesus doing. And the only way you know that is if you ask Him, if He's first placed in your life, Lord, what do you want me to do this day? Yeah, I have my daily routine. I have to have breakfast. I have to, go to the post office. I have to do my job. I have to do my labor. But God, what can I do in this day that pleases you? That's what Paul did, was asked of the Lord. That's what David did. That's what even Mary and others did. They inquired of the Lord before they took a step because God wanted to direct them on His path, not their own. Anytime we try to go on our own path, what happens? We get in a ditch, right? So number two means we trust God on that path. Things don't make sense. God, I don't understand. But God's saying, trust me. Because that trust means that you're walking in love and you're saying, God, you know what? I didn't create this earth. I have no idea what the end's going to look like. But I'm going to trust that you're with me, you're for me, you're not against me, and you'll help me be seen through on the other side. Trust. And then all of a sudden, involvement. Now, I use this illustration. This will be the third time. And so if you heard it, great for you. But anyway, you think about it. How many of you like sports? I love sports, And my sport is one of the most unpopular. I want to wrestle. I'll wrestle anybody right now and have fun doing it. Even if I get beat. I even told Brandon, and I tell these young wrestlers that are just getting clobbered out on the mat, I said, only 1% of you on the world, on the planet step on that mat. You might have gotten pinned, you might have got bruised, you might have got scraped, but you wrestled. That means that you are a higher caliber in my book. You stepped on the mat. You might have got hurt, injured, whatever. You might have lost, but you really won because you competed. Especially I can watch a little bit of football, and I don't mind watching every once in a while basketball, college basketball in particular. But, God forbid, I don't want to upset anybody, but I cannot watch baseball. I cannot watch golf. I cannot watch NASCAR or any of these other types of sports. I want to play them. And so, you know what? It's not that fun for me. All I end up doing is sitting in the nosebleed section looking at my neighbor and saying, my butt hurts. I want to be on the field instead of spectating. I want to be in the game. And Jesus came to planet Earth that Merry Christmas Day so that you could be in the game of life. and do it with fun and excitement and adventure. And that might be sometimes just the daily routines. But if God's in your life, if Christ is in it, then it is significant and it is special and it is unique. And that means if we're involved, I mean, He's living in our heart and we're working it out. That's where God wants to be, in our heart. That's the Bethlehem today. Where's your Bethlehem? I hope it's your heart, because remember the Scripture that says, wherever your treasure is, so is your heart. Well, many of you have treasured the Lord because you're in church the Sunday after Christmas. Now, I know other people are other places. Praise God. So, you know that song? I just want to sing it as a kind of a segue to part two of the message this morning about the Noel. And it goes like this. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, choir. There's just something about that name. Jesus, 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 like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. There is something about that name. It is a Merry Christmas. There is something about that name. So why the name Jesus? First, we must realize and accept that Christmas is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Christmas is Jesus. Kenneth, behave, son. Christmas is Jesus. We must first realize and accept Christmas is Jesus. And that Jesus is more than just a name and more than a title. Jesus Christ has significance and matters. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It connotes power. Just like Corey Oliver is a name, but there's meaning in those names. It is more than just a name. It is the substance of being. Christ established a prophetic arrangement in Isaiah when He said that He would come, as Isaiah proclaimed, that there would be a mother that would bear a child and He would be raised up and He would save His people. Christ is the Anointed One. And I'm here this morning to preach that Christmas is more than about presents. It's about Jesus being the present. That Christ's presence is power. The name of Jesus didn't provide Him with power, but it certainly empowered His name. You know, words and names have meaning and power. You know, in Deuteronomy it says there's curses and blessings. And so, you know, if you've ever seen a person that was beat down with words, they might not have been beaten down with a physical touch, but a word of verbal abuse can destroy a person. When you meet people that are timid or people that are just low self-esteem, most importantly, during that time in their life, they were told they will never amount to anything. And so they have a low self-esteem and they're hard to overcome or live victorious in this life because there's been curse words that have been invoked upon their life. Whether or not you have seen people that have been blessed. And you know, when you tell a child time and again, I mean, and you're not just pumping them up and giving them hot smoke, but you really see special gifts in that person and you begin to nurture that gift and you begin to reward them for their hard work and their effort, you know, it begins to help them to accomplish even greater feats when you say, you know, Sally, you know, Johnny, you're doing a great job. I'm proud of you. You know, even in the five love languages, one of the fifth out of the five love languages is words of affirmation. Now that means that one-fifth of all the population of the planet, one-fifth respond to words of affirmation. That means that there's a handful of people in this room today that their love language, the way they get their love tank filled up, as Dr. Chapman says, is when people begin to speak words of affirmation over their life. You know, a lot of times we don't get those words, so we live defeated and busted lives. But you know what? Blessings come through words, and we are called to bless with our words. The names can become average or become well known. In the name of Jesus, there is power, there's comfort, and there is authority. There's just something about that name. Jesus in the Greek is the equivalent of Joshua, which means God saves. Jesus' name was widespread in the Jewish culture of His time. And people paid homage because that name connoted freedom from slavery, that they were exited out of Egypt. That name was God saves. And the leadership that Joshua had as he spared a people with wisdom in his dreams to help a land and a people to prosper. The name God saves. Jesus' name was widespread during that time. Like if we were to name our child today George Washington. Or you know of some people that have been named for a character or some kind of hero of the past. And that carries with them a certain amount of power. But Jesus' death and resurrection, His name disappeared from history and census. Why? Because it had taken on a brand new controversial meaning. Right? Now, Christians would not name their child Jesus because they felt that no one was worthy of that name above all other names. And then also the Jews and other people that did not embrace the message of Messiah, they would not use that word. Just like today, we don't name our children Judas, do we? I mean, that would just be kind of a mark on them before they ever got started. Well, here Jesus carried with it crucifixion and death, so they didn't want to have anything to do with it. So who gave Jesus His name, by the way? The Word came from Almighty God Himself. Why? Because in Matthew 1:21, the Bible says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary," speaking to Joseph, "your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus," or Yeshua HaMashiach, "for he will save his people from sins." The gift is Jesus, and that Jesus saves. There's just something about that name. The reason for naming the boy Jesus was that he would save his people from their sins. As the prophet Simeon had said, "My eyes have seen the glory. Now I can go and rest in the goodness of God. I don't have to ask, and I don't even have to look at even the best saint in this building and ask any one of you, have you ever sinned? Have you ever sinned?" Every one of us unanimously should say, "Yes, I have sinned." There's just something about that name. So many names carry a mission statement. You know, like mine, my name, I don't even know if my mother knew this or not, but Corey is an old word in itself, derivative of Cornelius. Remember, Cornelius was one of the first converts to Christianity. But what does that name mean? And you know what's neat is, you know, if you begin to look at your name and figure out the definition, a lot of times you'll read, and the majority of that, you'll say, you know, this really is kind of me. You know, when you start looking at attributes and the qualities of a name, you ought to say, well, that really kind of fits my personality. And you know, I'm not a stargazer by any means, but a lot of times some of those zodiac signs kind of fit our personality too. I mean, I'm definitely an Aquarius. And I have met people that are born in October at the end, and they're kind of that donkey figure or whatever. And I'll say, some of those people born in October are jackasses. I mean, laugh, Don. Anyway, sometimes you just look at that stuff and you say, well, there's a little bit of something to that. So my name means horn. And you know, I blow a horn, right? It means that I'm stern but kind. Ask Brandon. I will yell at him and then serve him a piece of pie, right? I mean, just ask Jaden. You know, I'll go all crazy on somebody, and then I end up turning and flipping a dime. I'm noble when I'm bold. I'm pleasant, but I'm unassuming, and I take time to love. Now, I'm going to tell you what, to be a pastor, if you're really a pastor, you're going to have to take time to love. You know, even as Mike, the post office man, walks by here, I say, Mike, what would it be like to be a postal worker? Because I think I could do that. And, you know, because sometimes I don't feel loved and I don't feel like dishing out any love. But you know what? You know, to be anything takes time. But there is something about the name. You see, Jesus had a name that connotes a mission statement, does it? It means that God saves. But you know what else? There's a dual part to this name that's really powerful. And you know what that is? Is that mission accomplished. So he has a mission statement, and it also within that same name means mission accomplished. Jesus is the final answer, my friends. You can never find a word that states more simply, more powerfully, what Jesus means to us and to all that he has done for us. I want to ask you a question this morning. If you were to try to state the most profound, most essential truth known to humanity in just two words, how would you do it? Think about that one more time, because I know I talk fast and sometimes you get lost in the words. But really, if you could think of the most profound, essential truth known to humanity and you could only use two words, what would those two words be? And before... What's that? Hallelujah. And then... And not everybody heard, so I'm not going to let the cat out yet. Number two, if you had a limited time and you wanted to share your last bit of wisdom to a child, if you were to partake, to pass on the baton, and you wanted to summarize this with just a short, perfect, chosen word, what would it be? Well, it would be, as Mary Frances knows, God saves. Jesus saves. And so, if there was an extension to that, and you could use four words, it would be like this. I failed, but God saves. Isn't that amazing? I failed, but God saves. If you could impart wisdom to anybody, if it was your last dying breath and there was something you were just dying to get out and say, it would be that God saves. That is what Merry Christmas is about. Yet the most important lesson we could ever learn is that God saves. There's just something about that name. Jesus Himself promised us that whatever we might ask in His name would be granted. And we are baptized into His name. We serve our friends and our neighbors in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in no one else, as Acts 4:12 goes on to say, God has given us the name under heaven by which we must be saved. The time may come when life becomes difficult. Have you had a tough 2014? Have you had a difficult 2014? When there seems to be no hope, has there been those dark moments of the soul in 2014? Maybe as you approach 2015, maybe right now you have some regret, some disappointments, some shoulda, woulda, couldn'ts that never happened. Mr. Great Procrastinator. But God offers hope in His name. And when everyone who knows turns to the Lord and not the self, there's something merry to shout about. Friends, draw courage and power and strength simply from the name Jesus. Jesus saves. There's something about the name. Easy enough for the smallest child to say, simple enough for it to be the last words, the last hopeful words on dying lips. Powerful enough to bring us through any storm of life. Jesus, God saves, is the greatest and most profound word humanity has ever heard. You know, yesterday, it was the day before, I don't know, I get my days mixed up. But anyway, there was a little bit of quietness in the house. It was Friday, and I was taking time to tidy up. And I noticed in the foyer that the wood has kind of lost its luster. And so I was looking around the cabinets and ran across some Murphy's oil soaked citrus flavor. It smelled really good. And I was just sitting there. And as I was doing that, I was like, you know, in the silence of the house, just me and the dog, I found a CD I haven't listened to in over a decade or better. And you know, I plugged in that music and turned it up loud. And all of a sudden, as I'm wiping that floor with my hand and spraying Murphy's oil soap, I heard this song and I just began to cry and praise God. And I don't know if there was more oil, Murphy's oil soap, or tears on that floor. And I was like, God, you're touching me in such a powerful way. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of Christmas. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for what you've done. And the song, the Lord all of a sudden began to speak to me right in the midst of this song and say, you know, Corey, that song really meant something to you over 10 years ago, but it means something even more powerful and profound now. And it was a Ray Bolt song, "The Anchor Holds." And he says, despite the storms, the anchor holds. He says, my sail's been tattered and torn, but the anchor holds. Despite of the rage of the storm, Jesus is so good, friends. He is good and He saves to the uttermost. It is the final words that we will ever be given a chance to speak on earth. And then history confirms it with the great cloud of witnesses. When we gather together in a better place. Philippians tells us in closing these beautiful words as a reminder for all the world to hear. It tells us in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. It says, as Paul coins these words, therefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth. And under earth, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Just say the name with me. Jesus. Jesus. I'm telling you, there's just something about that name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn today is the first Noel. Let us stand and sing if you are able.